your ministry needs to be active on social media. But have you ever stared at your screen at a complete loss for what to post? You are not alone, but you're also not as stuck as you might feel right now. On this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, we're talking about repurposing content for social media. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and joining me as always is my co-host, our Methodist marketing guru, Darby Jones. How are you today, Darby?
Fantastic. How are you, man?
I'm great. My question for you today, Darby, what is your favorite social media network and why?
I'm on Facebook. I don't really do Twitter or Instagram very much. I don't like the filters. I like the realness of, you know, taking a picture, and filters ruin it for me.
Yeah.
I'm persnickety like that.
Well, you can be a hashtag no filter guy. There are plenty of folks that don't use filters on Instagram. Instagram does happen to be my cup of choice each day. It tends to just feel more positive for me than some of the other social networks. But while Instagram may be my favorite, it isn't the most valuable tool for me in ministry yet. And that's part of what we'll be talking about today. How do we create value? How do we engage our congregations and our communities on social media? And the expert here to help us out with that today is Stephen Adair. He is the social media sensei at UM Communications. Stephen, thanks for being with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Before we jump into our discussion, Stephen, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and the work you do in social media, both for the denomination as well as some of the local churches?
So I am a lifelong Nashvillian here in Tennessee and a lifelong United Methodist. Attend a small membership church here in Nashville and have worked at UMCom for, I think, almost 6 years now. And so I am currently the marketing or social media marketing specialist here, and it's my third position here. So I actually created the United Methodist Church Facebook page while I was in college.
Yeah.
And my current boss contacted me while I was a senior in college. And I said, hey, can we take this page over? You have 25,000 people following it. And so now that's my job.
That's so great. Yeah, when I was in college is when Facebook rolled out. And so I remember jumping on as an individual and then working at a United Methodist campus ministry and trying to figure out how to use these all for ministry. So it's awesome to meet the person that kind of got that ball rolling for the denomination. It's really been a learn-as-you-go kind of thing, I would imagine.
For sure.
Well, let's start with a little bit of data. I found a report recently that combined 14 different social media studies, and they're trying to answer the question, how often should we post on social media to have maximum impact and engagement from our audience? For Facebook, these 14 social media studies sort of aggregated out to the answer that we should be posting about once per day. If you actually post more than once per day, your engagement level actually does go down. And so once per day is ideal for Facebook. Now, that might sound really overwhelming. You might want to back it off a bit. Their recommendation is to do a minimum of 3 times per week. And if you're going to skip a day, skip a weekday. Make sure that you are posting throughout the weekend because that's when people are most active. And then when we look at Instagram, which tends to be the second social media platform that churches jump to, at least nowadays, we're looking at 1 to 2 posts per day. And then if you happen to be active on Twitter, I know Twitter hasn't been as effective as a tool for ministries. It can be really good for ministry leaders and church communicators like ourselves to connect with one another and to learn. But if you want to make an impact on Twitter, you're having to post 3 to 15 times per day because most often the views and interactions you get are going to happen within the first hour after you post. And so you've got to constantly be engaging. And so when you're looking at this, even if you're just doing 1 post per day on Facebook, that's 7 posts per week. That might seem overwhelming to some of us. That might seem a little bit like pushing the rock up the hill, you know, and every day is a new day and it's a new requirement to post, it feels like, and every week is a new week. You might have a good momentum going and then suddenly you run out of ideas. But I don't want you to stress and I don't want you to just stop entirely because you can't keep up with this, because the reality is most of us as churches have way more content than we think. And so we're going to jump through a couple different categories of content and categories of content that not only our churches are producing, but content that can be repurposed for use on social media. And the first one is scripture. And so, Stephen, as you do your work, either for the denomination or for the local churches whose social media you work on, what are some effective ways that you've seen scripture used on social media?
I'll go on the local church level more than the denominational level. But, you know, throw a scripture in there that's either coming up for your Sunday service or just something that's timely right now, and throw a beautiful photo in there of a cross or of a sunset, or just, you know, it doesn't have to be a photo that's taken in your building or of your people. Just something that's general that's going to be relatable. That's a great way to throw a scripture verse in there with an image. Don't just post a text post on Facebook. It's not going to be seen by people, but if you accompany it with a beautiful photo of something that's relatable to whatever you're posting, that's the way to get it seen.
That's so true. When I'm scrolling through, particularly Facebook, I almost don't even read the text-only posts anymore. It tends to be photos and increasingly videos that stop and capture my attention. And as Stephen mentioned, you can certainly highlight some of the scriptures that you're using on the weekends in worship, or some of the scriptures that you or your pastor will be using in their sermons. There's also the lectionary. So perhaps your church doesn't preach on the lectionary, but there are still a set of daily readings. There's a set of weekly readings. There are lots of scripture plans out there that you can pull from. And then, as Stephen mentioned, there's always seasonal and general favorites. And this is also perhaps an opportunity to create some mini devotionals or tell some testimonies or stories about the way that these scriptures are important to you. So perhaps you create the scripture graphic where you have a great picture in the background, some scripture on top of it, and then with the caption or the post that goes along with it, you can share a reflection or a devotional or maybe even a quote from the sermon if it's a scripture from the sermon. Stephen, what are some of the tools that you use to create scripture graphics like that?
I use Photoshop, but not everybody's going to have Photoshop. You don't even have to put text on the image. We really did used to start out with photo memes where you would overlay text on images. But Facebook can actually tell how much text you have added on an image, and it actually hurts you to put text on image. So just use a photo. You can use Google. There's different free photo sharing websites out there just to grab an image that is eye-catching. But a way to find that scripture, luckily for the United Methodist Church, we have a great resource in the Upper Room, which is a daily devotional. I use that on the denominational account. I use that on our local church account. That's just an easy way to grab the daily devotion that also has accompanying scripture and just post that link on there or grab the prayer for the day. So that's just an easy way. There's just so many places to find content that's already being produced for you.
Yeah, that's such an important point. And one of the pieces of data from that study I referenced points out that, especially on Facebook, about half of your content should be original content, but half of your content can be shared or curated content. And so going out and finding an article or a devotion from some other place and sharing it on your feed, that can be your one post per day. And we'll talk a little bit later about tools you can use to collect and schedule ideas like this so that you can really get the plan planned out well in advance so you're not scrambling every single day. Well, certainly scripture is the most reliable source of content because we have the Bible with us every day, every minute of the day. But perhaps the second most reliable source for content in our churches are the sermons, because most of us have sermons just about every weekend. You might have a hymn sing Sunday, or you might around Christmas time or Easter time have a cantata or something like that where there's not a sermon. But almost every week we have a sermon, and that sermon is full of tons of content that can be repurposed for social media. Stephen, what are some effective ways that you have seen sermons used online?
I think video is also great, along with photos, for churches to share kind of a glimpse into what a visitor might expect before they walk in. And it's proven that social media and your website are by far the first things that people look at before they even try out a church these days. So you don't have to have fancy production gear or thousands of dollars worth of equipment. What we've started doing in the last few years is using an iPhone with a tripod in the first pew down on the floor and point it up towards the front of the church and capture the scripture and the sermon, and we post that weekly on Facebook, a link on Twitter, YouTube, and put it on our website as well. And, you know, I think that that's one of the reasons why people come up to me and said that they thought that Glendale was so much larger than it actually is
yeah.
because of our social media presence. And I think it's just those easy ways, like using an iPhone. You know, most people have iPhones today. I use Movie Maker when I post it online. You know, that's on all Windows computers. It's not hard to use. It's free. I put an image at the beginning of the video, an image at the end, and I do some transitions, but it's so simple to sit down and do, and it doesn't take a lot of time.
Well, and obviously video and audio of your sermon are going to be really compelling because they help give that experience of being in the room. And I'm a big audio person. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And so whether you are recording audio through your soundboard or whether you're able to take the audio off your video, you also have the opportunity to perhaps podcast your sermons and then share clips or share links to the podcast as part of your social media outreach. But just like you can share quotes from scripture using images and even some text on images, you can share quotes from your sermon. You can also perhaps share quotes from some of the sources for the sermons. If the pastor or the preacher for the week used a poem or had a section from a book of theology or a piece of literature, they can share that throughout the week. Hey, this is something that inspired me as part of the sermon. One thing I've seen from a lot of my colleagues is if they're writing their sermon early on in the week, they might ask for input or they might ask for examples or illustrations from people in their congregation. And it's a way to let the congregation feel like they're a part of the process, that they're helping to shape the message. And people always like answering questions and offering ideas, especially if you actually take their input and use it in the sermon. The more that you actually show that you care what they've written, then they're going to be more interested in participating. Another thing that's kind of growing as live video becomes more popular is perhaps doing a debrief or a Q&A or even continuing the conversation after the sermon. There may be weeks where you really had to cut your sermon down or you had some more ideas or some extra points that just didn't make the cut. Doing a Facebook Live, maybe on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, where you share more of what you were thinking related to the sermon topic or asking people for questions and doing a Q&A. And even if you are an experienced preacher, a dialogue is often easier than a monologue. And so you might consider doing sort of an interview format. You might have someone like Stephen who's on staff at your church or a volunteer at your church or just someone in the pews who can maybe dialogue with you about your sermon and ask you the questions, or maybe they can be the person that's holding the device so they see the comments and the questions that they come in. If you might be a little bit overwhelmed of trying to keep everything going all at the same time. Well, another part of our worship and life together as a community, both in the sanctuary and throughout the week, is music. Music is a big part of our experience as Christians, people of faith, and just as human beings. We all love music, and there are lots of ways to feature music on social media. You can post links to YouTube videos, Spotify links, you can embed videos. You can create playlists of, hey, here are the songs that we're going to be singing this upcoming Sunday. Or you create a Spotify playlist or some other kind of playlist, maybe a YouTube playlist of, here are 20 of the most common songs that we sing at our church. And so they create easy ways for folks in the congregation to listen to and get familiar with the songs that you do regularly or even specifically the songs that you have coming up. And as Stephen mentioned, there's so many great lyrics throughout music, whether they're modern songs or hymns. There's so many deep lyrics that serve as a moment of connecting with God in and of themselves. Of course, when we get into things like video and audio, live streaming, or filming your own service, you have to start paying attention to things like licenses. Stephen, do you have any sort of simple rules of thumb for figuring out licenses?
I think a lot of people don't really know that they need one. I think for our local church, we have a just the basic licensing to be able to play different music. And we also just got the streaming license because there are certain services in the year, not generally every week, but, you know, Easter, we had a renewal service a few months ago where I actually did record the whole service and then posted the whole service with the music included. So just making sure that you have the proper licenses to be able to stream or to be able to record and then post is just super important today.
Yeah, absolutely. And as live streaming becomes more common, you probably see MyCom articles and other resources saying, hey, try live streaming your worship services. One of the things that maybe doesn't get said enough is that you need to look into the licenses. You may, depending on the style of your service and what music you're using, you may require a separate streaming license. The standard CCLI license might not cover what you're doing. So just give CCLI a call, ask them questions, make sure that you're covering yourself. Number Number one, it gives you the ability to keep your videos up, to keep your streams up, because YouTube and Facebook and things, they're trying to protect copyright and might take your service down. But just make sure you're doing the right thing, because it's also just important that we are doing the right thing as churches, that we're trying to follow all the regulations and support all of the artists in their work. Some other sources for content might include our small groups or our Sunday school classes. Perhaps they're working through a book or a set of curriculum and they've had some really interesting discussions. And so you can go into a Sunday school class and ask, what question has been most compelling for you lately? What questions or what themes have spurred some discussion? And you may be able to be inspired by that. Certainly there's other ministries and activities all throughout our churches, whether they're men's or women's ministries, youth ministries. If you are taking photos or videos of youth, minors, children, you're going to very importantly need to get the permission of parents before you post anything online, but we can certainly capture life as it goes on at our church. Stephen, why is it important to mix in views of what it's like to be a member of the church and not just continually post scripture or sermon quotes?
People want to see what they might be walking into before they walk through the door, which is why they're checking you out on social media and your website in the first place. You know, take a photo of those kids and they're having fun and smiling. Like that might be what encourages a family that lives down the street to come in. Or, you know, if you have a young adult group, I am on top of taking photos of our young adult group constantly, because that is such a missing demographic in our church. We have had young people come to our website and social media and have come to the group just because they found us online. And it's by those photos, and it's by actually having an active presence online and saying, hey, it's open for all. Anybody in Nashville, come check us out. So it's just so important, and it's a recruitment tool. If you don't show it, nobody's going to guess that you have it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If you see there are people like me at that church, you're going to feel more welcome, and you're going to feel like it's a place that you can come and check out. That kind of representation is important. It's important to have that certainly on social media. It's also important to have that in the leadership of your service. And that's a little bit perhaps off topic of today's episode. But, you know, if you want young adults to be involved in your church, give them speaking roles, get them on stage, you know, in your service or up in the chancel area behind the pulpit. Participating, because when people see people like themselves active in the church, they certainly feel more welcome. And it's just so true that we connect with other people. When we see photos of people, whether they're like us or whether they're like the kind of people we'd like to be in relationship with, when we see smiles, when we hear stories, we connect with people. I think one of the things I see most often is that churches, maybe their profile picture or their cover photo on Facebook are pictures of their building. And that might be helpful for someone that doesn't know what your building looks like, but Google Maps is going to get them to your building. You know, they don't necessarily need to recognize what it looks like as they're driving on the street. They're not going to be necessarily connected to the building. They're going to be connected to the people. And so we all have a wealth of people, a wealth of stories in our congregations, whether they're testimonies or devotions, or whether we ask people for their recommended books or music or podcasts, whether we do a day in the life, maybe behind the scenes at the church office. Like, what does the pastor do all day? Or what does Stephen do during his work? How does he have fun? You can do what are sometimes called account takeovers, where maybe you change the username and password, or just change the password for a day so that someone in your congregation can post to your church's Instagram account to show how they're living out Christ in their life. Or you can have them, you know, obviously take the photos and things and send them to you, and then you can post them. But showcase the culture and personality of your church. What are some of the ways, Stephen, that you have seen churches succeed by showing themselves having fun and showing that they're real people, maybe not even fun, but that they struggle with things too, and that God is the source of their strength?
Well, I think a big part of that is the pastors being vulnerable and honest through their struggles. And I've seen them, you know, previewing what the service might be, but actually being vulnerable and being open. You know, for us, we'll do spotlights on people at our church. It's a way to actually just put a human aspect on the church, and it's not just this institution or this organization, but putting a face or faces That's what's going to connect people. Also, churches that have staffs, when they have a party or when they, you know, dress up maybe for Halloween, and, you know, it's just putting a human aspect on what could be seen as just this big daunting organization, or, you know, putting a fun spin on it to show that, you know, oh, I can come here and it looks like they have fun together and that they love each other and that they like to hang out with each other. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. I will point out one thing to not do. And that is to be posting about your administrative council meetings or your trustee meetings. I do see a lot of churches doing that. That's a do not do on social media, on Facebook. You know, you're trying to reach, like, if you have a Facebook group for people that are already in your church, that's the place for that. But if you're using a Facebook page, which is external, you're trying to reach an external audience with a Facebook page, don't use it for your mundane meeting announcements and stuff. But a lot of churches still do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One, as we talked about earlier in the episode, you can also curate content. You know, maybe about half your posts can be original content, photos, stories, devotionals, things like that. And then perhaps you can also share blogs or quotations from books or sermons or talks that you have found. Maybe you find an interesting video. And this can also be the opportunity to mix in some sort of quote unquote non-church content that still may be fun and garners engagement. So, for example, over the summer, you might ask your church, you might find a really appetizing photo of an ice cream cone or something and say, what is your favorite summer treat? An ice cream sandwich, an ice cream cone, popsicles, watermelon slices. Asking questions that maybe aren't like super deep and theological might help inspire people to just answer out of a sense of fun. And Stephen, can you explain why, according to the Facebook algorithm, occasionally mixing in posts like this that garner easy and quick engagement are important?
Well, the more that people engage with your post, the more that Facebook is going to show your post in general. So if you post a bunch of just text statuses constantly that don't have anyone like and, you know, comment, share, you know, really do anything with, Facebook's going to actually bump you down on showing in people's newsfeed just in general. So the more posts that you have that are high engagement, that people like and want to see and want to engage with in general, the more that Facebook's actually going to put you out there on people's newsfeed.
And then, of course, if you're running short on ideas still, you can go with some of the social media staples. There are daily themes that kind of cycle through each week. Things like Motivation Monday, Tuesday Tip, Wednesday Wisdom, Throwback Thursday, Follow Friday, Social Saturday, and Sunday Fun Day. Are there any weekly themes, Stephen, that you have jumped on occasion or any that you regularly participate in?
Well, I think one of the most important things is for a church to be relevant on social media. And aside from, you know, the kind of weekday themes or the daily themes or whatnot, you know, what's happening in the world today? What tragedies or disasters are happening? Like, engage with those. Engage with those. Like, be relevant in the moment. You know, I am big on changing our sign outside. Some churches might not go to the extreme that I do on being relevant on our church sign. If you have a church sign outside, use it. You know, don't just say, absolutely, "Hey, come to church, worship with us this Sunday." I pass so many churches, worship with us. Well, every church says that. You know, go be bold and relevant on your sign, and then take a picture of it. Take a picture of your church sign, and then post it on social media. It's just, you know, be relevant and you'll be picked up and you'll see. I mean, the small church in Nashville gets picked up, you know, on, I guess, a national level from a comic, because our sign was relevant enough for her to use our sign, which, you know, just be relevant in the moment. And I can't stress that enough. And I think that's what people want to see. They want to see what you believe, what you will fight for as a congregation and as a church. Like, what do you stand for today in such a polarized climate? And that's how people are going to identify if they're going to come check you out or not.
Oh, that's so true. And I think another common thing is that people maybe sense that they know what the church believes, but then but then how we live it out, like what that actually means. How do we take our doctrine and put it into practice? How do we take our head knowledge and translate it into our heart and our hands? And how do we actually participate? And so, like you said, whether you're participating in one of these daily themes because it's a conversation that people in your community are already having, or you're jumping on current events in a responsible and effective way, we certainly want to be someone that's engaging with what's going on, because that's going to encourage folks to listen to us. Well, one of the last things that we have to think about is, so we've got all of this content, we've got all of these sources. Now, how do we organize it? How do we choose what goes where? Some of the questions you might ask yourself is, what are you already capturing? Are you like Stephen, setting up an iPhone in the front pew and you're already capturing video, and maybe you didn't think about the fact that you could pull the audio out and turn that into a podcast? We also need to think about, what type of content is this? If the pastor is giving an illustration using a prop in person, it might not be best as an audio clip, because you might need to see the prop. And so perhaps you need to use video or need to use a photo. What kind of senses is this thought or a video engaging? What kind of emotions is it engaging? How long is it? Are people going to sit on Facebook and watch a 25 or 30 minute sermon? Or is it best to cut a 30 second clip, because that's maybe the length of time that people will be paying attention? Is this content that could be interactive? If it is, then maybe consider doing it over Facebook Live, so that people can actually interact with you and you can interact with them. What kind of demographic are you aiming at? Is this a content that's going to be more important to young adults? If so, find out which social media channel the young adults use. Perhaps they use Instagram more than Facebook, or Facebook more than Instagram, and you post it on one profile and not the other, because you're trying to reach a target demographic. And then, as Stephen most importantly said, our Facebook pages should be outward facing. And so ask ourselves, is this going to be interesting to non-members? If it's not going to be interesting or impactful for non-members, then maybe we save it for our Facebook group or for another channel. Stephen, how do you make some of the decisions for what content goes where, and in what format you package them all up in?
We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And generally, I repurpose most things, because I'm not going to post something that isn't relevant to a non-member or someone outside, because that's a waste of a post, and it's probably not going to get much engagement, and it might not even be very interesting to the people that are already in your church. So if you have to think on that line, you might just not want to post. But I pretty much just kind of repurpose all of our posts on Facebook. You know, you have to say it a little bit different on Twitter, and Instagram, you might have to move it around a little bit too. But I pretty much just go across the board on most posts. Of course, I'm uploading our sermons and services to Facebook. I upload it to YouTube, so I use the YouTube link on Twitter, because the video is too long to actually download to Twitter. And I don't do a lot of video on Instagram of our sermons. So, I mean, there are some differences, and I think it's just figuring out what works where in your setting. And really, if you have all three, keep all three updated. So you don't have to create totally different content for each channel, because that would just be time consuming. So it's really about working fast and acting smart. Just, if you have a Twitter, keep it updated. Our website, our church's website, actually has a Twitter rotator on the bottom, and I think it actually shows somewhere else too. You know, so you have to keep it updated, because if your last tweet was 6 weeks ago and somebody looks at your website, obviously you're not being very active, you know, on your social media. If you have it, make sure you're using it. It's better to delete it if you're not going to use it, is my opinion.
Absolutely. That is so true. That is so true. I can't tell you how many church Facebook pages I've come across, and it's like Easter a year and a half ago was the last time they posted something. And that's just not going to encourage folks in your community who find that page to then want to come and be involved, because it doesn't look like you're active or that you care about this particular communication channel. When we look at specific tools, you know, the thought of one post per day for the whole week might be a little overwhelming, but let's say you're able to block out 30 to 45 minutes on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, and you can take advantage of scheduling tools and prepare all of your posts at once and schedule them ahead of time. And so there's native scheduling on Facebook. You can use free tools like Buffer or Hootsuite to schedule posts for Facebook, for Instagram, Twitter as well. Now, scheduling works a little bit different with Instagram, because there aren't any services that are allowed to post directly to Instagram. So basically what you do is you set up what you want to post and when, and then it'll send a notification to your phone, and you'll have to manually post it from there. But it is a way to prepare your content ahead of time. And then for me, as I'm gathering curated content that I want to share with my online communities, I have a little Evernote web clipper. And Evernote is a free notebook service. And there's a little web clipper that you can add to Chrome and other websites. So when you find a blog post that you'd like to share with your audience, rather than just in that moment sharing it immediately then, I send it to a notebook in Evernote. And then when I sit down to plan out my post for the week, I go back through that notebook and see what are all the different links and schedule them out. Stephen, are you a post-in-the-moment type person? Do you schedule ahead of time? Is there a mix of things, or are there specific tools that you found to be helpful?
I think there's a mix of things. You know, I think for the denomination, it's easier to schedule because there's so much content that I have, so much rich content here that's created here in the building and around the world just from various content development teams and annual conferences and whatnot. But for the local church, it's kind of more real time, I feel like. I mean, you can definitely schedule out, you know, your Upper Room Daily Devotional for Wednesday to post. But, you know, a big thing, like I even asked our pastor a few weeks ago, I said, can you send me just a blurb, just a quick line of something from your sermon, like a notable line from your sermon? Because, you know, when you're sitting in the pew and you're listening to the sermon, it's hard to actually kind of to type and listen at the same time, because by the time you're typing the third word, they're already on the sixth word of, you know, whatever that line that you think might be a good one. So, you know, even asking for those things ahead of time, you know, some pastors might not want to do that or can do that, I guess. But, you know, it can't hurt to ask. And that's an easy way to already have something in real time while they're preaching to post on Twitter, on Facebook, if you have a photo with it, of course. But especially for Twitter, that's an easy way to tweet out. But there's definitely other things, you know, the photos that you can take. Take one during the service. Take one of your pastor preaching. Take one of the choir singing. Take one of the children's time. Of course, take that close to the front of the sanctuary. Do not take it at the back with a bunch of empty pews. If you have empty pews, don't do that. It doesn't look good. And even if you record your sermons and by video and whatnot, you know, that's kind of real time. You have to kind of post it when you post it. But that brings up another thing as far as, you know, what time to post. And I don't know if that's really part of this, but, you know, there are certain particular times that you want to post and not post, depending on when people are actually active on social media. And that's usually early morning and in the evening, but not during the workday. So I wanted to throw that one in there, too.
Yeah, that's so true. So many of us, especially if we're full-time staff or volunteers, we're doing the work during the middle of the day. And so we end up posting stuff during the workday, but then it maybe doesn't garner the engagement that it could if we posted it early in the morning or in the evening. You know, we all guiltily watch television with our phones anymore. We sort of listen to television as we scroll through our social media feeds and things. So you can certainly look at your insights on your Facebook page, and there are some insights now if you have transferred your church's Instagram account to a business account, and you can Google on how to do that. They'll give you some insights on when your followers are most active, and that's really an important piece of information and certainly could be its own podcast, and maybe we'll look to do that in the future. Stephen, do you have any final words of encouragement for that pastor or even just that congregation member that knows that their small or medium membership church really needs to get active on social media, but they kind of feel like maybe they're not doing as much as they should or could at the moment? Do you have any words of encouragement for them?
I would say social media is so easy to use. It doesn't take a lot of time to do, and it doesn't take a lot of money to make an impact. One thing that we haven't mentioned here yet is that, you know, I boost most of our posts on our social media page for $1 each, and $1 goes so far on Facebook. You know, most small, medium churches might not have a marketing budget. I know we don't. So, you know, I pay for it actually. And, you know, $1 a post just isn't that much. It pushes your post so much. If I could give one tip, that would be it. Just boost everything for $1. And if you have more, you can do it for more. Some posts, you know, I'll boost for $20. But, you know, it just doesn't take a lot of effort. You just have to get in the swing of where can you find your content? What photo can I take during the week? You know, what What eye-catching thing or scripture verse that's relevant to the time or testimonials from people? There's just so much content out there. If you just get a list of that together, even links on umc.org, you know, the stories of the church around the world and the great works that we're doing as a denomination. There's just so much rich content out there that can be used. And you just have to kind of take the time maybe to find those resources. But then just, you know, it's all there for you. So I would encourage all churches to be super active on social media, because if you want your church to grow, being active on social media is one of the ways to make it happen.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and helping us figure all this out. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. How do you repurpose content? How do you fill up your social media channels with photos and videos and text and links? What's worked really well for you? What's been easier than you thought? And maybe what's been a challenge? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your tips or stories on a future episode of the podcast. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We always love hearing from you. And finally, if you have found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure that other church communicators and leaders like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening to us on right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.